to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good morning to you, Brevard County. Thanks for joining us here on the Refresh Radio program. My name's Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God. Been doing that for almost 31 and a half years. Actually, today's 31 and a half years. So we are thankful that God has blessed Merritt Assembly of God during that time and uses this radio program to speak the Word of God into the community of Brevard County. And you may not know it, but Brevard County is a mission field because God brings people from all over the world right here to beautiful Brevard County. And so there is always someone that you are going to have an opportunity to minister to. And many of those people may have never heard of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So to start off today, I want to thank you. Say thank you to the folks at Weirich Air, W-E-I-R-I-C-H Air. They are based in Rockledge, Florida. They have been providing professional sales, services, and repairs for air conditioning issues, heating issues, as well as solving electrical problems for over 40 years. They work in residential and light commercial settings, provide emergency service when necessary. They always strive to provide you with the best service possible and an affordable price. So if you may need a reliable, trustworthy air conditioning repairman, you might want to write that number down, 321-632-9538. They would be a great resource to reach out to if during these super hot days of summer your air conditioner suddenly decides it needs to go on vacation. You can give them a call. 321-632-9538. Their license numbers are RA0066854 and EC1300-2439. They are a blessing to Merritt Assembly of God and to myself personally, and they may be able to be a blessing to you. So today we are going to go to Mark chapter 6. We're going to touch on several passages here in Mark 6. Again, I want to ask you if you would to be praying for me. Today is surgery number 3 that I will have had in the past 7 days. And so if you would keep me in prayer, that would be greatly appreciated. Mark chapter 6 is where we are going to start out today. And this is talking about Jesus and the disciples. I'm only going to read verses 12 and 13, and then I'm going to move down to verse number 30 whenever we get to that point. So verses 12 and 13. So they went out and preached that people should repent, and they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them. So I know that it uses the word preached there, but this verse here sets the stage for verse number 30. In between verses 13 and 30, so from verse 14 to 29, is the story of King Herod and his assassinating John the Baptist. And then after that story is completed, then that brings us to verse number 30. Verse number 30 says, then the apostles gathered to Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And so it wasn't just that there was preaching going on, which was a proclamation, but there was teaching, there was instruction that was going on. And verse number 12 says that as they went out, they were preaching that people should repent. And I will tell you that John the Baptist came preaching repentance, and people felt something in their spirit that caused them to leave the cities and the villages, and they went out into the wilderness all the way to the Jordan River, where John the Baptist was baptizing people and he was preaching them. They came from all walks of life. Some of them came as curious spectators, religious personnel trying to figure out what was going on here. But there were a lot of people that knew when John the Baptist came to prepare the way for Jesus, that when he said repent, that they knew that they needed to repent. And it wasn't just people in that geographic region. All people everywhere need the gift of repentance. I describe repentance as the primary blessing of God, that it is the first thing that God gives us that sets us up for a life of blessing and favor and unmerited favor and mercy and a transformation inside of us that enables us to live life the way that God wants us to. But it's not possible without a change of mindset, a change of direction, a change of action, a change of relationship status. There is so much that is involved in repentance. And yet many people in 2024 not only refuse to teach or preach about repentance, but they minimize it. They don't think that it is necessary at all. And then there are other people that they just carve out a special segment of society and say, well, you know, because of your this segment of society that you don't need to repent. Well, I want you to know that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Absolutely everyone. The only person that has ever walked this earth that never sinned is a guy by the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus, the anointed one, Jesus, the Messiah. He never sinned. Everybody else sinned. Everybody else, therefore, needs to repent. Everybody needs to come to God and say, God, I am sorry. Please forgive me of my sins. Be the Lord of my life and empower me to live the way that you want me to live. And so as they go out, they teach and preach repentance. And then in verse number 13, it describes that they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them. Now, I want you to know that this, while it is something that we understand in our modern times, that this was very, very new in the time of Jesus. People weren't going around doing that. People were hanging around pools hoping for healing. But there, you know, if you had a sickness or a disease that the physicians couldn't cure, you could pray, but there wasn't a whole lot of hope going on. And so the disciples, not only Jesus, but the disciples, they go out and they start showing that Jesus has authority over all things. He had authority over nature. Here it describes that he had authority over demons and that he had authority over sickness and disease, that he was able to vanquish that. He was able to conquer it. And so a lot of times we pray for people to be healed. I've started praying, Lord, not only to heal people, but to keep people healthy. And so I am very, very thankful for the provisions through the stripes of Jesus Christ, by whose stripes we were healed. And we are healed. So the disciples start going out, and they not only teach with words, but they teach by demonstration. They teach by example. And all of a sudden, the kingdom of God starts advancing. The kingdom of darkness starts retreating because demons are being cast out. And one of their favorite weapons at that point in time was sickness and disease. And Jesus and the disciples, they show up and healings start taking place. So if you are dealing with something physical, if you are dealing with something spiritual, maybe you're dealing with something relational, the disciples start going out and they are bringing revelation that the kingdom of God is not just something that you talk about one day a week for an hour or 2 hours, but it is something that is meant to make not just our eternity better, but our everyday life better. So that is what sets up verse number 30. So verse number 30 says this: Then the apostles gathered to Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said to them, Come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while, for there were many coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. So they departed to a deserted place in the boat by themselves. So I wanted to share with you from this passage that when we are teaching, there is a level of accountability. And I'm of the mindset that everyone needs accountability. You don't need to just surround yourself with people who will tell you the things that you want to hear, but you need to surround yourself with people who will point out if you're off track, if you're off the beaten path, you know. And so I have people in my life that are positional authorities. They are people that have been elected due to their excellence in ministry to be presbyters, which would kind of be like a bishop. Then I've got a district superintendent. I've got a general superintendent. And they are people who are skilled in a lot of different aspects of ministry, most of which you don't want to hear about. You know, we had a general superintendent. He's passed away in the past few years, but he was doing ministry, and God said, I want you to go and get your law degree. And so he was not only an ordained minister, but he was also a lawyer. And one of the reasons that became so beneficial was because it reached a segment in society where suing churches became a very popular thing to do. And so he was registered to practice law in a number of different states and jurisdictions, but he had skill sets. So there's a relationship that I have with my superintendent that he is just a wealth of information and knowledge. And I can tell you this, he's never stopped. He's never stopped learning. And so I have contacted him. In fact, it was just a little over 11 years ago when I was praying, and God said, I want you to have him pray over your preaching. And so I said, okay. Didn't know why. He didn't know why. He said, No, Bob, you're a fine preacher. Why? You don't need me to pray for you. I said, all I know, God told me to tell you or to ask you if you would pray for my preaching. And so he did. It was just about a month, you know, as 11 years and a month ago. And prayed, you know, nothing spectacular happened or anything like that. But come the 1st of October, that's when I was invited to come on WMIE. And I can tell you, I have preached exponentially more in the last 11 years than I did before. I only thought I was busy before. Now I know I'm busy. And so I'm thankful that those are that there are people in my life that hold me accountable. So there are positional, there are also relational people that I hold myself accountable to. First of all, I'm accountable to my wife. I'm accountable to the board of the church. I want to conduct myself in such a way that I'm never an embarrassment to the kingdom of God, to my family, or to my church. Those are three things that I, you know, prize very much. They act as a restraining force in my life, so that there are questions that, you know, some people get asked, and I can honestly say, no, that's not a problem. That's not even a possibility. And it's because I have those relationships. I've got minister friends that I have in relationship, where I can share things with them and they can share things with me that help make me a better pastor and things of that nature. And then I've got a friend, and he is that, but he's also extremely smart. He's got a higher level of education than I've got. And when I have a theological issue where maybe I'm seeing something that I've never seen before, this is one of the people that I go to, that I can hold myself accountable to, that I'm being true to the word of God. And so, now, first of all, you need to understand that when I start doing my preparation, that I pray first. I don't go to the resource material to find out what other people said, so then I know what I can say. I want to hear from God first, and then I want to make sure that the things that I'm hearing are true to the word of God. I'm very much into the Berea type of making sure that everything lines up with the word of God. And so this brother helps me to do that. And unfortunately, I don't get to be around him as much as I used to. But if you know somebody that can't be accountable to anyone else, I want you to understand that that's not necessarily a biblical model that needs to be followed. The disciples went out, they taught, and when they came back, they reported to Jesus everything that they had done and everything that they had taught. So there's a minister. He's on up there in years pretty good now, but he's been a very effective minister of the gospel, reached a lot of people. And someone told me one time that for his staff, when he was, you know, a hands-on full-time pastor, that if they preached, he would tell them immediately after, what a great sermon. And he would just encourage them and compliment them and build them up. And a day or two later, then he would come to them and he would say, you know, next time you preach, you may want to do this just a little bit different. And so it wasn't a tearing down. It was always a constructive, edifying, encouraging way. But it was the way that he conducted himself to make sure that the people that he was raising up were still accountable. And I will tell you this, that ministry is not just words, it's also action. So I remember a couple of times in my life where there have been things that have been shared, and they were really, really inspirational, but they just didn't hold muster at the end. So I remember Robert Morris sharing about a person that was going to be speaking, and they said, "Would you like to hear what I'm speaking about?" And he said, "Yes, I'd love it." And so they shared what they were going to be teaching or preaching, and they said, well, what do you think?" He said, "Well, I think it's absolutely fantastic. There's only one problem with it." And they said, "Well, what's that?" He said, "It's not biblical." And he began to show them what they, you know, where they had missed it. And so if that can happen to others, we need to be humble enough to say, if it could happen to other people, it could happen to me as well. And so we want to make sure that the things that we share, the things that we do, that they line up with the Word of God. Now, verse number 31, "And he said to them, come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while." Now, I want you to know that the teaching was still going on. And the teaching is not only that we need to teach about repentance and authority over the powers of darkness and the ability to pray for people and God to raise them up healthy and whole, but Jesus also wants to teach us that we have a need for rest. And that is something that over the past 2 years that God has really spoke to me about. There was an evangelist. He's a pastor. He's also an evangelism, does preaching. He found himself in the hospital several years ago, and he said, "God, why am I in the hospital? I shouldn't be having these health problems." And he said, "Well, you have been traveling 365 days a year, and you have been preaching a supernatural rest while depriving yourself of supernatural rest." And he repented of not resting himself. And a lot of times we can see the busyness of life. And if you look, continue to look there in verse number, "There were many coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat." There are always going to be hurting people. There are always going to be ministry opportunities. But we need to make sure that we honor the Lord. When he says rest, we need to be as obedient to that command as we are to any command to do that he gives us. And so I've shared this story, but 2 years ago, I think it was two, might have been 2 to 3, God spoke to me and he said, "Do you believe in tithing?" And if you know anything about Merit Assembly of God, the answer is yes. Not only am I a tither personally, but we are a tither as a church. And he said, "Do you believe in tithing?" I said, "Absolutely." And he said, "So you believe that I can take 90% of your income and I can make it go further in my hands than 100% could go in your hands. And I said, yes, sir, I absolutely believe that. And he said, do you think that you could trust me like that with your time? And all of a sudden, there's a moment, you know, like David, you're the man. All of a sudden, you realize that God really wasn't starting this conversation with me about tithing. He was talking to me about my time stewardship. You see, God commands us to rest. The Sabbath is not only, to keep the Sabbath is not only one of the Ten Commandments, but it is a gift from God to us to make sure that our relationship with God is healthy and whole and sound. And in the process, it rejuvenates us physically and mentally and emotionally and intellectually. And because of what God does in us on that, then we're able to be more effective. It is like sharpening our tools to make us more effective. And so Jesus is here with the disciples, and he said, what I need you to do is I need you to learn how to rest. And it says that he took them to a deserted place. And so I don't know where your quiet place is with God. I believe that you and I need to have an encounter with God on a daily basis. I believe that that will rejuvenate us. You know, people have discovered, you know, they thought that they could burn the candle at three ends and just continue to function and on and on and on. But here's what we've actually found out. Your body needs rest. Your mind needs rest. Your organs need rest. It is something that helps to maintain you in a healthy and holy manner. And so whenever God commands us to rest, it's not because he's giving us a timeout because of disobedience. He's giving us a gift that is going to bless us, and it's also going to make us more effective. Don't let the busyness of life deprive you of God's wonderful lesson of that he has provided the opportunity for spiritual rest for you and I. I pray that you will be faithful today, not only in your finances, but also in your time and the things that you lead by example and the things that you share. God bless you. You have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Whalen Duff with Keller Williams Space Coast Realty is a friendly, knowledgeable, active, and accessible real estate agent here in Brevard County. Keller Williams is known for real estate services all across the world, and Whalen specializes in helping buyers purchase the right place to call home, as well as helping sellers market and negotiate the sale of their single-family home, condo, vacant land, or business. Whalen Duff can be reached at 321-536-5973 or visit whalenduff.kw.com. Whalen Duff with Keller Williams Space Coast Realty is your local realtor who provides all you need and the time you deserve to get your real estate purchased or sold.